It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal's everywhere. Well, Sal's at minicamp. Sal's at your golf. Yeah. I saw Sal. I saw him at T-ball.
Wait a minute. The thing you were at for why you couldn't golf, yep. Sal was at, but he also golfed?
Apparently.
No one's able to do more things at one time than Sal. He's the man of all trades.
He might just own a helicopter and we don't know it.
Get to the chopper!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Sal Capaccio joining us here. A Wednesday appearance, media day down at One Bills Drive for a regular Sunday, 1 o'clock week road game. A regular schedule. And Sal, I don't know if you feel like it's Wednesday at 7 a.m. Are you caught up on the sleep schedule? Did it take two nights to get back to where you needed to get to? I feel like a lot of people might be in that boat.
Kind of never for me, to be honest with you, but we try, right? I mean, do the best we can. Yeah, a little bit. It gets a little bit more routine now, which, you know, is good because you look at the schedule, like, okay, now we know, a little more routine. I always say to people, it's so funny, Jeremy. People say to me all the time, boy, you know, in the off season, that must be your time to kind of do this or that. And I say, actually, like, the season is a little bit better because it's more routine. The off season, you never know what's going to happen. There's always moves being made and all those kinds of things. Once we get here, we know, as you said, it's media day, right? You know that. Wednesday triggers a, okay, we're going to be down there. We're hearing from Sean McDermott. They go to practice. What the difference now is, though, the Bills are so good, they're playing on all these different nights. Thursday night, Monday night, right? Mm-hmm. And that throws off your schedule. But it is more routine, and I do enjoy that. And I was very upset at the Yankees last night, so I went to bed a little bit early before the game ended.
What happened in the Yankee game? I only saw people tweeting about it being blown away, incredible. Well, what was it?
They were up 2-0 on two solo home runs, and they go to the, I think it was a seventh inning. I have to go back and look now.
Seventh inning, yeah. I'm looking now.
They put a new pitcher in, and he walks like three guys in a row, and then there was a double, a few walks, a hit. Anyway, they literally, I think the Detroit Tigers scored, I think it was like maybe five runs before there was even an out. And they wind up with a nine-run inning, and it's 11-2 by the time that's over.
Well, all right, tough one, you know?
Can't win everything these days.
Now, and then I wake up and see the Blue Jays won an extra innings, which made it even worse because they were losing 3-1. I'm like, well, at least they didn't lose a game. Oh, yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sal, we turn the page to the Jets a little bit. Looking back, though, Baltimore, we didn't talk yesterday. You know, we talked on Monday, immediate reaction. How do you digest how things went against Baltimore? We'll start with the defense and what needs to change, what we might hear out of Sean McDermott today or whatever. Like they got run over, a lot of issues, maybe some communication issues, maybe some personnel issues, and maybe, of course, the opponent is specific to this problem. So what's your takeaway 2 days later?
We did hear from McDermott and Bobby Babich and Joe Brady on Monday. So, you know, they reflected on it a little bit. We talked with them a lot about all these things that happened that you mentioned, Jeremy. And, yeah, I mean, Bobby Babich's quote was, you know, that was unacceptable to anybody in the defensive room, right? We all know that. They know that. And they have to get it fixed. And, you know, they're identifying lots of reasons why those things happen. Anytime you have that kind of a performance where the other team beat you that soundly in one aspect of the game or any aspect of the game, it's generally a lot of reasons that happens, and they all have to come together. And, you know, Bobby Babich said that, you know, there's a lot of things that they could improve on, certainly. And that comes from personnel, that comes from execution, that comes from play calling, everything. They all have to have a hand in it. When I look back on it, and if everybody doesn't know, what I do every week is, generally on Tuesdays, I tweet out the Bills' offensive, defense, and special teams rankings relative to the league. And every year after week one, it's going to be, like, the first few weeks are going to be skewed because there's so much a small sample size, right? But of course, after this week one, you look at the rankings for the Bills, and here's the defense. Ready? This is yards and running and passing and all that. 30th, 32nd, 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 16th, 32nd. I mean, you know, it looks terrible. We have to understand, too, they did play a team in the Baltimore Ravens that is an incredible offense, and you're not going to see that as much or really ever again this year unless you meet up with them in the playoffs. It's not an excuse, but I think you have to put it a little bit into perspective. They have to get better. I think as the next several weeks go, they will get better. The question to me is, when, you know, how much? Like, I'm really curious to see when they go against the Jets, who ran the ball really well against the Steelers last week, and Brees Hall looked good. The Jets are going to look at that film and say, we're going to run the ball at the Bills. I want to see this response. That's what I want to see. I want to see this response from this defense and what they can do. The quote from Bobby Babich was, I mean, he reiterated several times, guys, that they are going to be very intentional about fixing the run defense this week.
Where do you think that starts? I'm wondering about, Sal, the linemen a little bit, seeing that Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones played a little bit more than what their normal average is on defense. And the rookie defensive linemen, there's stats about like what the Ravens averaged when Walker and Sanders were in there. And they didn't play a ton. I think it was 13 and 15 snaps. But those two, when they were out there, it didn't seem like it was any sort of advantage or upgrade from what they've had in the past. So tough matchup, though, right? Like, it's the hardest test for those two out of the gates. What do you think about them, the way that rotation kind of shakes out as we go into week two? Because that's where the whole run defense thing begins, I think.
It does for me, Joe. When I look back and I watch the film, like, I think a lot of the problems were just started with too many holes and missed tackles up front. Right? I mean, you look at the one Derrick Henry run going right to left. I mean, you see that hole that he had to run through, right? I mean, I know that Taylor Rapp took a bad angle, and that's totally on him. I get it. But by the time you're talking about that, he's already 15 yards downfield, right? I mean, that's the area where it's got to be cleaned up first to me. And then we could talk about the other issues, which there's certainly issues. Safety was not, like, they didn't play that well. I get it. But you can't expect your safeties to be making tackles on Derrick Henry all night long. You have to be better at the line of scrimmage. And I thought there were too many holes. But also, I didn't think the tackling was that great up front. Like, there were times, and we said this on the broadcast, they actually did a good job of getting Derrick Henry to shuffle his feet a few times. Like, he had to go right or left. He wasn't going straight forward. But you know what happened? He moves right, and then suddenly he squeezes through a hole. You can't let that happen, right? So that's the issue. So you talk about, you know, the rookies. Look, they're going to have to play. This isn't what are you going to do? What's the alternative? You're not going out and, you know, replacing Deion Walker and TJ Sanders. And Larry Ogunjobi is suspended, and Michael Hoyt is suspended. Those guys will help, you know, midway through the season, basically. So they're going to have to play. And the way the Bills do run their defense, they do have a rotation. Could they keep Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver on the field more? Sure. It's also week one and week two. Like, how much do you want to lean into that right now? So those guys are going to have to play. They're going to have to get better. And the only way they're going to get better is actually by playing. So you just hope that they get better as they go and they can understand. And I'm not sitting here telling you they were terrible. I think everything on the defense could be better. There's no doubt about that. But there's no real alternative here, right? Like, this is who they have, and they're going to have to work, and they're going to have to get better, and you hope it starts this week.
If they play it again, you feel like, is Jordan Phillips an answer here, Sal? I mean, he's brought back for this idea.
It's a good question. It's a good question. Probably something that they would think about, Jeremy. Zion Logue even, right? I mean, like, you do have guys, when I say no alternatives, you have guys on the roster you could elevate. But, you know, these are guys that are not on the 53-man roster. You got a lot of decisions to make. But sure, if they were to play again, or maybe even we see it this week, Jer, like, maybe they look and say, hey, we just need something more. We need a little better of an we need more of an option. We need more resources available. So maybe that's something they look at this week for Jordan Phillips or Zion Logue to be elevated to the active roster based on how the numbers shake out. We'll see if that happens.
Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, Sal, their role in this. You know, we've talked defensive line, a little bit on the safeties. How about the linebackers and how they performed in this game?
Yeah, you can't – it's so hard, right? I don't think you can really truly gauge, like, and say, oh, my God, there's plays where they should have been better. There's no doubt, because everybody should have been. But I just think that the way this defense is structured, you got to keep those guys a little more free. And there were too many times where there was just guys getting out to the second level. Derrick Henry's out there. Now they're caught in a bind, right? They're going to make the tackle. They got a blocker or whatever. I didn't see, like, necessarily Terrell Bernard or Matt Milano just getting into the hole missing tackles. One thing that's got to really clean up on the defense, and I said this to Bobby Babich, and he agreed, and I wanted to make sure I was right when I said this. That's why I asked him. I said, hey, this is what I noticed. Is this correct? And he was 100% agree. I want to give the Ravens credit here. They're a very well-coached team. And they did a really good job of making sure the Bills kind of weren't ready at the snap sometimes. And I know people, and I say that, are going to go, oh, my God, how could you not be ready? Look, what happens is When the offense breaks the huddle, the defense looks and identifies a formation. And they say, okay, this is where you're supposed to line up. And then all of a sudden, there's a few things happening, and you have to communicate. You know what the Ravens did? They got on that ball. They didn't have any motion. They quick snapped, and the Bills were still identifying the formation. And in a really, really loud stadium, because we want this crowd to be loud for the offense, their offense, obviously, on the field, that makes it even tougher. There were multiple times where either A, Terrell Bernard was still turning and trying to tell somebody what's going on when the ball was snapped, or B, they were trying to run something on the back end. Cole Bishop was sneaking up and way too late because he couldn't get there because they snapped the ball so quick. That's something that even Bobby Babbitt said, yes, like that part of the operation has to be better. That comes with a lot of things. That comes with give them credit, no doubt. The Ravens did that, and I expect other teams to do that. It's more when you're in Buffalo, probably, but I think more teams will do that. Hey, if we can get up there and snap the ball before they can communicate, that'd be great. But why are they actually having that issue might be the time on task we talk about, guys. Like, they just haven't had some of these guys play together because of injury or because of reps in preseason, and I think that it slowed the process down just a bit.
Yeah, that was impressive by Butt. Like, it's Ken, you're flipping the Bills' advantage around on them, and by
exactly
being ready
right.
on that. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen a team do that. You're right. It's almost kind of like a no huddle. And I don't know how
That's
many.
Exactly right.
Like, you could do that when you have a Lamar Jackson who's been running a system for multiple years. But, like, is Justin Fields, I know they're away this week, but, like, is Justin Fields going to be able to execute at that level, new offense, first year? Like, some teams, Sal, right. I think, won't be able to do that.
I agree with you. And if a team replicates it, it'll be tougher for them. And again, I think probably in these home environments for the Bills, a team could try to do that a little bit more, maybe because of the loudness of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. And those are things the Bills have to clean up. But again, I think sometimes you're so focused on your own team. I want to give the Ravens credit. I think that's a really, really good coaching move to be able to do that. And the other part of it is, you know, we talked all week about Ricard and likely not playing and like how much that could benefit the Bills. The Ravens knew they weren't playing for quite a while and they had a good plan. And even Bobby Babbage said that was different personnel than what they're used to seeing with that team, right? So when you see the team for the first time with that personnel, hey, the Ravens had some wrinkles. So hey, look, the Bills have a lot of issues they need to clean up on defense. I also want to give the Baltimore Ravens a lot of credit here.
Flipping things around, Sal, we're talking about the Ravens and how they were, you know, a little bit up-tempo, aggressive, trying to catch the Bills in certain situations, to the Bills' offense, which, you know, they put up 41 points, but it's after they kind of turn it on. And we referenced earlier in the show, there's a Fox Sports piece where it catches Khalil Shakir and Josh Palmer on the sidelines talking, and Palmer says, when do we turn it up? You know, when do we kind of let things go? And it feels like that was the takeaway from a lot of Bills fans, that maybe the Bills were a little slow to get to a game plan that worked. So Joe Brady on that and the balancing act, because I think he's, you know, obviously he's done a great job with this offense, but he's trying to balance keeping things balanced, running, moving the ball around to everybody involved, but also making sure you get the most out of Josh Allen. And whether or not they got to that too late or not might be up for debate. How did Brady feel about it, and how do you feel about it?
I think they did the same thing they did in the playoff game last year, which is try to play a low-event game, wait for the Ravens to make a mistake. The problem was in this game, the Ravens didn't make a mistake. You know, they played that game last year and the Ravens made mistakes, so the Bills kind of had the lead early, right? They threw an interception early in the game, the Ravens did, remember, in that playoff game. There was a drop pass early in the game, so the Bills kind of took advantage of that and they could kind of ride that. They could say, okay, we're going to play this low event game and we're going to make you make mistakes. And the Bills and the Ravens did that, and they never had to kind of pull out the bag of tricks. I think the Bills had the same philosophy in this game. They're going to make mistakes, guys. Let them make mistakes. Let us not be the team make mistakes. The difference is the Ravens didn't in this game. By the time it got to a point where, okay, it's too late now. We can't wait for them to make a mistake. We got to make things happen now, right? We got to be the aggressor here. And I don't have a problem with that game plan. I didn't like some of the early play calling. The second drive, I didn't like. You get 9 yards on James Cook first down, and then there's a run for no gain and a run for a loss. Like, that's, to me, is a time where, okay, now throw the ball a little bit, be a little bit aggressive. I thought they got too conservative in those situations. Third drive, same thing. Incomplete. Then you have the screen pass to Dalton Kincaid. He, you know, catches it but fumbles out of bounds. I think the second and third drive really kind of showed me, okay, they're going a little bit too close to the vest to wait for the Ravens to make their mistakes. The Ravens never made their mistakes. You can't. I don't think Joe Brady or anybody in the Bills organization is thinking the Ravens are going to put up 40 points and they're not going to make mistakes. They're just going to score all day, right? You can't count on that. So I didn't have a problem with that type of philosophy, But that philosophy can bite you if the other team doesn't actually make the mistakes, and that's not what happened right there. For Joe Brady's part, what he said was, because guys in the locker room said this and he confirmed it, he said he told his guys all week, don't look at the scoreboard. Just keep playing. Don't worry about what the score is. Just keep playing. And it's funny because you can look at that two ways. I've had people respond and go, what do you mean? You got to know what the score is and you have to play because of score effect. But I get what he's saying. He's like, look, just do what we do, do what we do, do what we do. Because when it comes time, if we have to, then we'll make things happen. And that's kind of what happened at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Josh Allen can, of course, save you from a lot of scenarios. I wonder, they play again in the playoffs. Should they employ that once more? If they have, in fact, had an idea of let's let them make a mistake, they've played twice. In one of the games, they win by two. Another game, they lose by one. Like, it's a tough opponent. I'm sure there are some Bills fans, I would put myself in this boat, that would say, I think the game plan should be to go out and try to score 50. Like, try to put it away. I all gas all the time. Now, that might not be the smartest thing to do. What do you think Brady would do? What do you think Sean McDermott would do? Would they want to slow play a low event game again?
It's a good question. I think so. I think the issue with your scenario, what you want to do, which is all fine and good for us to sit here and say that, and you could say it as a fan sitting there, and I could say it as a media member sitting here, that's fine. But the minute you do that and you throw one interception and suddenly it's 14-0 because you made the mistake, now you got to play catch-up against the Baltimore Ravens who can run the ball down your throat all day.
Sure. I guess I would just wonder how much
I think that's a scenario you're not wanting to be in, right?
No, that's funny, though, because we did just see, like, you're not going to win that very often. We did just kind of see them win it both ways, right? Because they did play the catch-up.
Right, you can't come back.
But living life that way, it's a struggle. It's really what is baked into this matchup, though, Sal. Like, they're so hard to figure out how to play.
Yeah, they're both so good. And, I mean, I feel like I'm not living in a space where I'm afraid of a mistake, especially an interception from Josh Allen. I mean, he's been so good in that department. He's so kind of dialed in. And, you know, that kind of fearing one turnover to make it 14-0 and how you're going to come back from that. Well, one, I would have Josh Allen, but I don't want to live in that fear. I want to go out and take the game. But like you said, Sal, like that's for a fan to think. That's for us to think. I understand that. I want to lean more into Allen earlier. And I feel like, I don't know if Allen does. He seems to be in a good headspace with Brady. So, you know, at the same point, I kind of don't want to mess with it.
And I do wonder, Jeremy, if you know, let's see, like, as the season goes on, because what's funny to me is, so you have these other teams coming up, right, on the schedule. You have the Jets, you have the Dolphins, you have the Patriots, you have the Saints. I mean, I think we all know, like, the Bills are going to be heavy favorites in most of these games. They should win these games. Like, you could have either one of these philosophies and have a good debate on it again, because you could say, just go take the game. Just go put these guys away, right? Yeah. Just go have Josh be Josh. Or you could say, Bills don't have to take risks. They're going to win these games. Just play low event and get out of there and keep your quarterback healthy and we're all good. And I think that both scenarios could be on the table here.
Yeah. 803-0550. Sal, media day today. What are we looking for on the injury front? You know, suspensions and guys on IR. Are there short-term issues to watch for today?
So the guys who are suspended can't come back and practice for another three more games. So we're already one game down. They need three more games. Max Harrison can't start practicing for another three games, and then at that point, if they decide he's able to practice, they can start doing that. Tre'Davious White is improving, Sean McDermott said. So that's the one we're watching today. Will Tre'Davious White be on the practice field? With the way Dorian Strong played, I think he's pushing for more playing time. I'm not suggesting here he should be the starter, but I think there's a conversation coming up at some point, right? If Dorian Strong continues in ascension. I don't think he played a bad football game, guys. I mean, I know they gave up 40 points. I mean, I watched Dorian Strong. I didn't think that he did anything that I looked and go, man, the rookie was lost out there, right? So I think that's interesting. And you want to have all hands on deck. You want to have everybody healthy, no doubt about it. But the more reps Dorian Strong gets, you know, that's not a bad thing. But you also want Tre'Davious White healthy and out there. And we'll see if he's going to wind up practicing today. The only injury that we had an update on in the game was Brandon Codrington had left. And he was actually questionable to return, but he came back. Remember when he got hit maybe early on the punt return? It was really close. He got twisted up, but he came back. That's it, guys, which is great news. Sean said there was no other injury update on Monday. Now, it doesn't mean someone's not feeling something today that we don't get out there and he's not practicing. We could see vet rest days today. But I think aside from the win itself, maybe the best news was after all the injuries the Bills had during training camp and preseason, it looks like they came out of this one healthy and they can have a full complement of guys continue to get another week of reps.
In terms of managing workloads, there was really none of that, right, with Joey Bosa, talk of that at all. Like, they just kind of threw him out there. And I don't – like, Kincaid, I saw a question about – actually, it was from a fantasy person because he only ran 60% of the routes. But they're not really seemingly doing that with anybody, are they?
I mean, this might be a tough game, Joe, to do that with because of the way it played out. Like, at some point, you're like, okay, what's load management? We got to win, right? We got to get out there. And
right.
I think load management comes probably more in games where you can have a little bit more space to do that. But I don't think so. I don't think that's where it was. There was someone who – was it Bosa? How much did Bosa play? What was his percentage? I'm going to look right now.
I'm going to look too, but I thought I saw Bosa played a really good amount. Kincaid was the one I was wondering because he played – Kincaid played 51% of the snaps. And I know there was like
– And by the way, 4 for 4 on targets from Josh. I think that's notable.
Right.
And, right? I mean, like after last year, I think that's notable.
And the touchdown down the field, which was right out of the gates, was good.
Bosa, 69%. I believe –
Okay.
You guys still have the sound there. I have to go back and listen. I believe Babbage said on Monday that's a little bit more than they probably want on a normal basis.
Okay.
Well, just so you know.
The matchup could have dictated that. So.
Correct. Yes. By the way, Joey Bosa in the locker room was it was crazy. Like, he's like, I kind of never had been like on a team that could happen, right? Like, he's not taking a shot at the Chargers, but like, look, we all know that the Chargers were kind of known for not being that team who could do something like that. And he said something to the effect of, like, you know, at the end of games, a lot of time, you're like, okay, just you still have to go out there and try hard and put good stuff on film. Like, to actually come back and win, is amazing. And he was just kind of flabbergasted, to be quite honest with you, like, how the first game in a Bills uniform taught him a really big lesson, actually. And it was really interesting to hear him talk on that.
Yeah, one thing about that game, Sal, and I'm sure – you know, there's plenty of belief in Josh Allen and belief in that team. But if you're a newcomer like Bosa or Josh Palmer or anybody else that's brand new, I was watching a clip of Prater hitting the kick and the Bills celebrating and thinking, man, if they needed buy-in at any point, they got it right away.
Like, there's 100%.
There's no doubt that that game gave buy-in to anybody. Not that it's lacking, but just how could you not think that you've got, you know, effectively Tom Brady back there, right? Oh, we're never out of a game, never out of it. So the Chiefs have that with Mahomes. The Bills have that with Allen. It's something that's important to have when you got a guy that good that can bring you back, is that everybody kind of knows, hold on, just, you know, don't pack it in yet.
I agree with you. I thought the same thing, Chair, which was, I was thinking rookies. I wasn't thinking about a 10-year vet like Joey Bosa, right? Like, this guy saying that was really eye-opening. Like, oh my God, this guy's like, holy cow, like, I can't. He's like, he said something like, I've been in a lot of these kinds of games, we always lose, right? We never win. And honestly, Bills fans are kind of used to the same thing in a lot of these games of the year that they played and they wound up losing, right? But I thought this for the rookies, which is, boy, how great is it for an organization? If you're Sean McDermott, you're like, it's amazing. Like, you can now, everything you preached about buy-in and culture and we stick with it and we play hard, like, it just played out in front of your eyes, right? And right there. So you know what? Now that rookie's like, oh, yeah, you're right, coach. You're right, coach. That's exactly right. I got to go do this and I got to do that. It is the ultimate. And obviously, because you win, you feel better about it. But it's the ultimate kind of, I don't know if it's test or results or whatever you want to say, to show that process works.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Thank you, Sal.
You got it.
All right. One thing on, he mentioned, did he mention special teams and kickoffs? I think because he said something got me into that. I wanted to get into that. That right now, week one, we are way into this, whatever. We've seen some kickoffs and average drive start and a bunch of different things. Right now, last week, they had the highest percentage of kickoffs returned in any week since 2010.
Mm.
So kicks got returned. The new kickoff, the 35-yard line being a touchback, teams dropping it in the landing zone, all that. Highest rate of kickoffs returned in week one since 2010. So you're getting a lot of kickoff returns.
You had some big ones, too.
Starting field positions, midfield. 29.
Yeah.
I wonder if they want the highest rate in 15 years, or you know, they might continue to tweak it until it falls into a spot where they like it, but right now that's a very high rate of return. 803-0550. Couple people on hold to get to your calls on the other side. And also, when we get back, tomorrow is the first Amazon Prime game. It's Commanders and Packers. And every year, Amazon kind of adds in fancy new bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I was just reading them over with Joe in last break. They are some fancy bells and whistles, kind of change the way you watch the game. We'll tell you what's coming up this year as part of the Amazon's Next Gen Statscast, which is some really cool stuff. The visuals on the screen. going to change the way we watch this game. So that's coming up with your calls here on WGR.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm like in a dream right now. It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if I've ever been this happy after a win. It's obviously, it's just the first game of the year, and we gave up a lot of points, and I could be better in a lot of ways, but you know, we got the win and we gave our offense a chance, and I guess when you have Josh Allen, you just have to give him a chance, and anything's possible, but I'm in shock right now. That was unbelievable.
Joey Bosa, call it the Josh Allen effect. Amari Cooper last year, I've experienced joy for the first time playing football in a while, right? Something like that is what he said. And there's Joey Bosa. Bills, of course, off to play the Jets this week. Just talked with Sal. Trey White, really the number one name we're watching to see if he's ready to return, how close he could be to returning. Dorian Strong didn't play poorly in the Baltimore loss. Have some stuff to get to on Thursday Night Football. We'll also mix in some calls here, 803-0550. Your calls and Thursday Night Football's debut, including a bunch of new graphics on the screen that'll be I'm really eager to see how they look and how they play out. End of game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pocket stuff for quarterbacks. Get you that in a minute. Anthony in Toronto is up, though. Anthony, good morning. Hello, Anthony. No? All right. We'll next go to Kevin in Plattsburgh. We'll try to get back to Anthony. Kevin, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. How are you?
Morning, guys. Appreciate your show. Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Love that Joey Bosa quote, too. Just like the Cooper quote last year. Yeah, I like that comment, the Josh Allen effect. I'm still buzzing. This is a moment in Buffalo Bills history, and I've been a Bills fan since Joe Ferguson, a long time. What a great time. I couldn't sleep. I was up. We were all tired Tuesday, Monday morning at work. Wow. And it was the whole team. I mean, to stick with it when you're getting gashed like that is not an easy thing to do. You know, you played sports and it's tough to keep that mindset, and they did it. I want to have a little bit of a bone to pick with you, though.
Sure.
On Sal's comment about, a low event game. It's not about that. It's about time of possession. And I got confidence in Brady and Josh. And yeah, it was okay. It was a little conservative. It seemed like maybe you stretch a couple of stretch plays in the mix. But, you know, you're looking at an elite defense. I mean, that D-line stops the run. That secondary is as good as any secondary in the league. And so what do you do? It's sort of, a pass to run kind of thing, screen passes, a little bit of short game, burn some clock, keep that offense off the field, you know, all that type of stuff. So I don't, 3-and-out's never good. That's clear. When it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I don't fault that game. I think they came at it smart, and they said we need Lamar on the sideline. And to some extent, it worked. But at the end when they turned that up, just credit to the boys. That was just something else. Josh was absolutely surgical. Everything fell into place. Ed Oliver with that forced fumble, the whole thing, wow, what an amazing time. But I'd like to get your thoughts on that. I think that was a little harsh for Sal with the event. I think he's missing the boat a little. You know, they tried to control clock, and they did have some success.
Well, Kevin, thanks for the phone call. I think trying to control the clock is playing low event. You're talking about having time of possession. Without even saying whether or not it's good or bad, keep the other quarterback off the field is playing low event. The idea being there will be fewer possessions. And that's usually the thing you try to do when you have a great quarterback on the other side, and you're an underdog. Underdogs famously want to do that. Let's keep Peyton Manning off the field. Let's keep Lamar off the field. What will the Browns try to do to the Ravens? Let's make sure we keep them off the field. It's something the Bills tried to do in the playoff game 2 years ago against the Chiefs. We've talked about it a lot. The one thing about it that's odd is you just don't often do that when you have the best quarterback. And that's
right.
That's the balance the Bills often try to strike here. But time of possession, time of possession is, I think, whatever. It's tough to go into a game wanting to win time of possession. Why did Baltimore not have more time of possession? Because Derrick Henry ran the length of the field multiple times.
You get a
37-yard touchdown. Like, you can't have time of possession. Sorry, we're too good at scoring. And the Bills, you know, they had drives against Baltimore last year in the playoffs where it's 11 plays, 50 yards, lots of time of possession. Right. The play to...
The Ravens, by the way, had 7 drives in the second half. Do you know the longest drive they had? And some of these were stops, but also quick touchdowns. 7 drives, the longest of which took 2 minutes and 12 seconds.
Because they were too good at scoring.
Right.
And, I mean, if you want to make the case that that's bad, that's just going to be a tough case to make for me. I think trying to reverse engineer time of possession, I wouldn't want to be chasing that.
Because
you're walking the line, Joe. If I get first downs, I'm going to increase my time of possession. But if I get touchdowns too quickly, that's bad for time of possession. But they don't give out points based on time of possession. You give out points on points.
Right. If there is a team, though, where it's even debatable that... Because I think playing like that as the Bills against the Jets or the Dolphins or any of these other teams is... It's ridiculous. You have the best quarterback. You're the favorite. You don't play like the underdog. Yeah. You play to go attack them and beat them by 100. But if there is one team where maybe it's defendable to play that way for them, isn't it Baltimore? Like, you say, like, that's how you play as an underdog. They were an underdog in this game.
They were.
And as great as Josh Allen is, look at their two offenses. Who's better? Ravens offense is better.
Yeah.
I know the Bills won the game and they scored their 41 points and their quarterback put on the cape and was unbelievable. It was one of the most fun games ever at the stadium. But Baltimore's offense is better than the Bills offense. So I wouldn't play that way against the Chiefs at all. I think it's ridiculous to play that way against the Chiefs. I wouldn't play that way against Houston or any of these other teams. I would think about it against Baltimore because I don't feel like I'm going to stop them.
I end up thinking that I'll just say it again. Chasing time of possession is chasing a false idol. It's 2nd and 1 on the second possession.
Mm-hmm.
2 handoffs and a punt.
No, I don't like that.
Gets you 2 minutes of time of possession.
Right.
Whereas a play action pass on 2nd and 1, if it gets you a touchdown, it gets you points.
Like, I wonder, like, what? How do they feel about how that game went? Do they feel like, you know, we got behind not because we didn't score in the first half, but because we had 2 3-and-outs that went for less than 2 minutes. 2 drives that took only 3 minutes like total off the clock.
Well,
like, I wonder if they would view that as the failure.
At the risk of straw man, you said 2 drives that took less than 2 minutes?
Yeah, 159 and 132.
And Baltimore had how many scoring drives that took less than 2 minutes?
They had a 3-minute scoring drive. They had a 2-minute scoring drive. They had a 2-minute field goal
drive.
Right,
so what hurt them more? It's not 2 minutes of time of possession. It's 2 failed drives.
Right.
And failed drives is something we've kind of talked about a lot. When you're playing up at the top, when you're playing with Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, if the Chiefs and Ravens are playing each other, let's take the Bills out of this.
Yeah.
If I'm going into that game as the offensive coordinator, I'm thinking about one thing, failed drives. Turnovers, punts, they're all the same. The Bills didn't turn the ball over, but you punted twice. If you go into a game with Baltimore and you never turn it over, but you punt 6 times, you can't tell me you made no mistakes. Like, punting 5 times in a game with Josh Allen is making big mistakes. It should almost never happen. So they ultimately got things back on track. But the low event conversation, I feel like, against Baltimore, we had the conversation last year in the playoff game. We had the conversation against the Chiefs 2 years ago. Isn't it why McDermott talks about and the Bills have talked about wanting explosive players and explosive plays?
Yeah.
Because explosive plays, they're not exactly like antithetical to time of possession, but – We know some numbers that an explosive play on the drive increases your likelihood of getting a touchdown like threefold because you get the big chunk.
Yeah.
And the Bills are very good at getting the small chunks. And the second half, what they start getting? Bigger chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have good time of possession in the second half? I guess they did because they
They went pretty quick because they had to get rolling. They were down.
Yeah.
So it is funny, too, because if you do take the Bills out of it, I think the Bills should be different than the Chiefs in this. If the Chiefs and the Ravens play each other like the week before a Bills game in the playoffs, that's how the Chiefs will play them. But I feel like the Chiefs more have to play them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how they played them in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago, which was, long. They went on. Didn't they go on an 18-play touchdown drive in that game? They didn't have many touchdown drives. No, the Chiefs.
Oh, right.
When they beat the Ravens in the AFC Championship game, it was like 17 to 10. Yeah, they had a 16-play, 9-minute touchdown drive. They had a 10-play, 6-minute touchdown drive. They had two punt drives that went over 5 minutes. Like, that's how Kansas City played them. But I think this – I don't think the Bills' weapons are flush and are not, like, the best in the league, but I do think their offense is better than what the Chiefs have been.
And I just think it, time of possession is fine. When your quarterback is Josh Allen, you're chasing other things. I'm never going into a game chasing I want to win time of possession unless I'm running out the clock in the fourth quarter up two scores. I want to get to two.
Which even that you could argue got Baltimore in trouble.
Can we compromise there? We'll get up two scores and then run the ball effectively, kill the clock. But if you can't get the first downs, anyway. Tomorrow night on Amazon, just a couple things they've got coming up on the broadcast. They've got a brand new, I guess, analysis point, pocket health. They will use, as part of the Next Gen Stats broadcast, tens of thousands of data points across the offensive line throughout the play to generate dynamic on-screen visuals and statistics that illustrate threat levels and affecting the quarterback's protection in the pocket. Here's why I'm really excited to watch that next week. I mean, we'd be at the game, Bills-Dolphins. You might want to go back and watch the highlights because I'm ready to see flashing code red, and then Josh Allen just runs away from it. It might be that you get an illustration of, oh, a normal quarterback would see red, and might be in trouble, whereas Josh Allen just gets away from that.
Yep.
So that's one of the things Amazon's got coming. I'll get you some of the other ones as we go along, like defensive alerts, coverage ID, target zones, a brand new target zone. It's just beautiful. It's going to change. They're doing great work over at Amazon Prime, and if you stream the games there, best analysts, Herb Street and Michaels. Al Michaels back for a 40th season. But best studio show, best graphics, good stuff. All right, if you're on hold, we'll get more of your calls in. 803-0550. Thanks for the phone call. Good stuff on, the Bills trying to find the best version of themselves here. And a win over Baltimore is a pretty good version as they made it work in the end. Jeremy and Joe, Joe Marino of the Lockdown Bills podcast at 830. Open phone lines for you until then here on WGR.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 4th, 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today.
So Amazon Prime has its first game tomorrow, Commanders and Packers. Mentioned a minute ago the pocket health that they're going to do. They're also introducing an end-of-game suite, trio of tools. Path to Victory, AI, predicts remaining possession scenarios for trailing teams to map potential paths toward a comeback victory. Time remaining prediction, clock analysis, predicts how much time will be left on the clock if the defense can force a three and out. Victory formation, the right amount of time on the clock needed for a leading team to secure one final first down. On the screen, right? You have the ball. Based on timeouts and all that, it'll say like 113. All right, get to 113 with the ball. You'll have it. Defensive alerts, the first predictive behavior AI model employed within a live broadcast. Defensive alerts tracks the movement of defensive players prior to the snap, highlights those identified as a threat to blitz the quarterback. They had that before. It's very effective. They're almost always right. Coverage ID identifies the scheme for fans in real time before the snap. Pressure alert detects defenders attacking the offensive backfield during live action, highlights those in position to disrupt the play. Think of like a toss wide, like a guy would be highlighted like he's in position. Field goal target zones overlays multiple lines in the field to deliver the likelihood a kicker will make a field goal, providing crucial context on drives at the end of a game or a half, not just like the career long line, but these are the zones. Prime targets tracks and highlights open receivers in real time throughout their routes. And here's maybe the best one. I think this is the best addition of all of them. Four down territory. indicates where the offense needs to advance the ball to earn an analytically strong go-for-it recommendation on fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's third and 10. And based on how things are going, like, is this four-down territory?
Mm-hmm.
There would be another line on the screen in front of the first down line, you would think, or at least maybe a graphic on the corner says 5 yards. The gain five here, and then you are in strong go area on fourth down. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm into it. I would even maybe for the first time be tempted to do this during a Bills game.
To watch it?
Yeah. I've never I'll always watch the regular broadcast live, and if it's a non-Bills game,
yeah,
I'll watch the Prime Vision or like ESPN will be the Manning cast. Next week, I think I might do this during a Bills game.
Well, it's the regular announcer. It's not like a Manning cast where you're not
Like the audio's same.
It's just a different graphics package.
It's the visuals on the screen and
that fourth down line. Meanwhile, speaking of which, that game, the big storyline might be Mike McDaniels because his quote. They play the Patriots this week.
Yeah.
And he said, the good news is I don't think it can get any worse.
You sure that wasn't like an AI account trick?
No.
It couldn't get any worse? He said that already?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
it's kind of funny, actually. I respect him saying that.
Yeah, I might want to.
It's kind of funny.
Might want to. Yeah, Mike
guys,
McDaniel,
you see how bad we were on Sunday?
I don't see how it could be worse, is what he said at profootballtalk.com.
Okay.
It was embarrassing flat out, and in that, there's nowhere to hide. Within the game, it's almost as good that it wasn't reachable, that we were -4 in turnovers, because as a team, we have to. I was really looking forward to seeing the stuff that we've really worked on. I didn't see any of that, and that's a problem. It was a miserable experience, quote, got punched in the mouth. The good news and the positive is I don't see how it could be worse.
Yeah. I saw a Dolphins fan tweet out yesterday that it was a clip of this was the best play of the Dolphins day, and it was a blindside blitz where Tua got destroyed by one of the Colts defenders, and he got back up after it. Like, that was the best play that is. Guys, Tua got up.
That's tough.
He got smoked. That line is opened at 9. Opened. I mean, we're before the week, but you could bet it right now, Bills -9.5.
803-0550. Open phones for when we get back. Brad, Matt, stick with us. Brad, I like your comment. I want to dig into that, so stay with us. If you want to jump in on, you know, just remember the Ravens game, the season, whatever it is, we're looking toward the Jets, of course, this week, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.